And all of a sudden I thought, okay, like, we basically just demystified this thing. Like, rather than playing in all the wrong cities for nobody and not knowing who's going to show up and having no control over any of that, if I've got information, meaningful connections with my fans, I can make a living.
This is a story about Derek Webb and about when he realized where he needed to go in the industry. Webb is a vocalist, guitarist, writer, and most recently the co-founder of Noise Trade.
Noise Trade, we are basically a tribe-building platform. So we help artists and authors give away content for free in exchange for data, which with which they can make a living. So, you know, it's basically, yeah, I mean, and so that's, I mean, very essentially, that's what we do.
Out of high school, Webb made thoughtful folk music inspired by the Indigo Girls with his band Cademan's Call. Not long after, Warner Brothers offered them a deal. They wrote music with some spiritual content, so Warner Brothers decided to market them as a Christian band. Later began Webb's solo career as a musician. Our story starts with his third studio release, Going It Alone.
Whenever somebody releases a product or an album or a book, or, you know, usually you get that first big infusion of energy and you sell kind of to the people who are waiting and who know about it, who know about you. They buy it up in the first 6 or 8 months. And then unless you've got some real tricks up your sleeve, that's, you know, usually when you start thinking about making your next thing. And so I think it was my third record, and the label was talking to me about moving on to the next record. But for that particular record, I just had a little more ambition than usual.
He pushed back at the record company, saying he thought more people could be reached with this release. In return, he got a hard line from the record company.
Well, unless you can find a way to promote the record that doesn't cost us any money, then we need to move on.
Here's the part where Webb shows us the role he loves as an agitator. He went away and came back to propose something that, at least in 2006, was unheard of.
And my idea was I wanted them to let me give the record away for free for 3 months online and get emails and zip codes.
Webb proposed free digital distribution for Mockingbird and gave away 85,000 copies online.
And got an email and zip code for everyone. And that's a lot of people for a guy like me. I mean, being a blue-collar artist and, you know, never having a huge fan base, that's a lot of records.
But Webb's question was, where were all these people, these newfound fans? After dissecting the data, he found that he had never played a show in two of the five cities with the most downloads. The two cities, New York and Los Angeles.
And I mean, I'm like a niche folk singer. I don't have any business going to, you know, competitive markets like New York and Los Angeles, but the numbers don't lie. Let's take the data out for a spin and see if it's really worth what we think it's worth. This is really an economic model, or if we just manage to give away a bunch of records, that's not revolutionary.
He booked a flight and a show in the smallest room at the Knitting Room in Los Angeles for 90% of the door and zero guarantee.
So that it was all on me to get people in there. And if I flew all the way to California and nobody shows up, and I don't get paid anything. So
Webb went back to the data and emailed only those people within 15 miles of the venue.
Said, hey, you know, we hope you love the record. I'm coming to town. I'm playing a show really close by. It's going to be $10 a door. Please come out.
This is about 2 weeks before the show.
Before the show, we emailed them again. Hey, just a reminder, please come out. You know, hope you love the record. Come out, see the show. We didn't know what was going to happen. There's a bunch of rooms in this place. So we're walking up, and there's a line all the way down Hollywood Boulevard to get into the Knitting Factory. And my buddy and I, as we were walking up, we were thinking, well, apparently somebody really cool is playing in the big room tonight. Maybe when we're done with my show, we can sneak into that show. And we get up to the door, and it turns out all those people were there to see my show.
Webb and his band sold out the 100-person room at capacity and left 200 more waiting to get in. After they finished the show inside, they hopped outside the venue and played a second show for the 200 people who didn't make it inside.
The Knitting Factory was looking at me like, who the hell are you? And I basically told him, well, like, I'm nobody. And that's why this matters. That's why this is important, what just happened tonight. And they booked me that night to come back and play the next bigger-sized room for a guarantee 6 months later, which I did. And we sold that room out 6 months later. Same thing happened in New York at the bitter end. Exactly the same scenario. And then the next year when my new record came out, it was the biggest pre-sale I'd ever done in my career. I think I pre-sold 15 or 20,000 records that next year pre-sold. So, I mean, it totally changed my career. And that was the point where I was like, okay, I have so many friends who do what I do, who are blue-collar musicians, who I know would be more than willing to give a little bit of music away for free in exchange for information with which they can make a living. I knew that they would do it. And so I had a few friends go in with me, and 2 years later, we brought Noise Trade to market.
Derek Webb lives and works in Nashville, Tennessee, where he spends his time managing and running Noise Trade. So much for playing hard to get.